Hi there, this is Ali Ciardo and the Photo Field Notes podcast. And my interview today is with Troy Christopher Pelota. And we're talking a lot about the future of photography, staying up to date on photography trends, staying relevant as a photographer. And one of the main things that he talks about is adding motion to our photos, which sounds really intimidating. And I think it's really easy to dismiss, but hear him out. He's got some great tips. So if you look at, if you want to see examples of what he's talking about, what we're talking about, if you go to Photo Field Notes on Instagram, you'll see a couple of examples on my recent posts. I've also been doing a lot of experimentation on my photography and my personal Instagram at Ali Ciardo, so you can check it out there. So check those out if you need some reference. We'll talk about some other examples as we go, but just to kind of set the stage, give you some examples as you get going.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey everybody, I'm here today with Troy Christopher Pelota, and I'm really excited because he brings a wealth of experience and information from a couple of different angles in the photography industry. So first thing, I always start, Troy, with the story of how you got into photography, how you got to where you are today. And I know you have kind of a winding road, but the first thing I actually want you to start with is you have, by all, you know, outside measures, reached a level of success as a photographer. You've got the names you can check. You photographed Heidi Klum and Usher, Mariah Carey, Donald Trump. These are really impressive names. These are impressive people to be photographing. So we're going to talk today about the evolution of photography, how it's changing, how it has changed, what we need to do to stay in business and keep up with things. But first thing I want you to start with is, within your story, what do you think it is that led you to the level of, you know, quote, success as a photographer, or working with these types of people as a photographer? What skills did you have? Did you use? Was it your extreme creativity? Was it your business mind? Was it your, you know, combination, your personality? What sorts of things do you think were relevant to those, that success in the past, that are still applicable to today?
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Ali, for having me on. I appreciate it. Very excited to chat with you. And to answer your question, so photography, of course, having good photography, but relationships. I say that just all the time, is how important relationships are for your business, and getting in certain circumstances and situations to where, like, a shoot comes up and you're just on the top of somebody's mind because, you're, and it's not like where you're like bothering people too. It's that art as far as, like, you know, maintaining a good relationship, but not, you know, blowing somebody's phone up basically.
Give me a little bit about that. What did that look like for you from the time that you studied photography? Did you study photography?
Yeah. So I started in photography when I was 13 years old. I've been shooting ever since. Winning awards by the time I was 16, opened my first studio at 21. I'm almost 49. I was trying to cheat it for a second. I started in high school, and I was kind of like the guy who ran around school with his camera in his hand. I worked my way up to newspaper photo editor, yearbook photo editor, and you know, had a great photography program in my high school. And then I just kind of kept going from there. Did a little bit of college. A little bit of schooling, but I mostly did a lot of surfing in college and used my negatives from high school. So that didn't really count so much. moved to Atlanta. I grew up in Florida, moved to Atlanta. I was a surfer, so I'm in Atlanta. I'm like, okay, I have no waves. So I got my camera. I spent 10 years there just focusing on my photography and shooting and creating relationships and building my portfolio. And while I was there, I did very well in Atlanta. I shot a lot of celebrities while I was there. And that was a lot of fun. And my career path has kind of been a little bit of everything. I've shot everything from portraits to fashion, a lot of advertising, pharma work, not so much weddings, a couple here and there. But just a little bit of everything. Being in Atlanta at the time, you kind of somewhat had to be a generalist. And then I moved on from there to go to New York, and I've been ripped out of New York for years and years. And that's where things really kind of, like, of course, went to the next level.
How much of that was luck, and how much of that was you going crazy with building those relationships?
Maybe there's a little bit of luck there, but it's mostly building the relationships and working on my book.
Okay, that's great. I mean, that means that you controlled it.
Totally. Yeah. I totally controlled it because you have to, you know, you can't really let the universe kind of create whatever it wants for you because there's just too many other people who want it, you know, who wants it the most, you know?
Yeah. So what did that actually look like on kind of a day-to-day basis? Were you like going out and making cold calls or going to networking events or just working the network you had?
It started with the modeling agencies. And so, because I wanted to be a fashion photographer, love fashion portrait, love shooting people. So I went to the modeling agencies. And the first thing that I did is I was 21 years old. And I'd go into the agency and I'd be like, hey, I want to test some of your models. And they're like, yeah, whatever, kid. And there was this agency and I'm standing there and all the agents are like, you know, blowing, their phones are blowing up. And I noticed the books were completely unorganized and they're having to send books out, portfolios on the girls. And, so I said, hey, I said, you know, those should be in alphabetical order. Cause when you guys are pulling books, it would be a lot easier to see, you know, it'd be, you know, you could find them right away instead of this cluster that's happening over here. So I hung out in the agency's organized portfolios in alphabetical order. And, a call came in for one of the agents and I hadn't even met this agent. She's like, hey, you're a photographer, right? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, are you available tomorrow to do a shoot? And I was like, yes. So it's stuff like that. You know, you just have to be, you have to make yourself available and do things that aren't even necessarily, you know.
Yeah, you didn't walk in expecting to photograph their top model. You walked in saying like, I want to build a relationship basically. And that's what you did. You said, how can I help you?
Totally.
Nice. And that's definitely something that still applies. It might not be alphabetical ordering physical books in an agency, but it could be right. Something else relevant to that. Okay. So definitely the relationships. Obviously, we know that that's important. That's something that skill first, you have to be a good photographer and then relationships are important. But what do you think in terms of the evolution of photography? Do you think that photographers in today's world, if you were starting today, do you think that you would have a more difficult path getting to where you were, getting to where you've gotten in your photography career?
Honestly, where do I begin? So here's the thing is, because it's a different path, right? Because this was back in the day of film and before digital and all that stuff. So it's just different. And I'm going to give you a perspective coming from a commercial advertising fashion photographer. Just because that's what I know most. And it's just different. Everything has changed so much. And a lot of the budgets for the photographers have moved to video. So now it's like the photographers are working also as DPs and directors and all this kind of stuff. And I'm doing quite a bit of that also. So it's just different. So that's why one of the reasons that we created Plotograph initially was because I knew this was coming. I knew we needed to create a tool for photographers to be able to monetize their work and compete within the video realm. So this whole world of motion art that's come up right now, the agencies are just loving it. Agencies and brands, it gets a lot of attention. So if you're going in as a photographer right now, off the bat, starting, how can you differentiate yourself? Because right now it's like, there's just so many ways to kind of go about that. And it's just everybody's own path is, what are you passionate about shooting? What do you love to shoot? You know, you could start there and then figure out from there, like what market do you live in? Are you in the middle of the country in a smaller market or are you in a big city? There's different approaches to it. And the goal is if you want to go to the top, being repped out of one of the bigger cities is the goal in my mind.
Okay, I want to get into the Plotograph in just a minute and what that is, because obviously that's a big part of what the movement that you've made in the photography industry. But I also want to talk about, so just kind of getting more into what people need to do differently today to stand out. So we talk about video, we're going to talk about specifically what that is and what you're doing to help people. But just step one, and maybe this is going to get right into the Plotograph and everything, so you take it where you want to. Do you think if somebody, let's say, a lot of photographers take this path now. A lot of photographers, maybe they study it, maybe they don't, maybe they get into it from some unexpected course. And a lot of them maybe start with photographing portraits or weddings because that's a pretty easy place to start because, hey, I can do that. It's less scary. It's less of a jump into commercial, which sounds very intimidating. If somebody was an experienced photographer, a talented photographer, already, let's say, successful in the consumer side of things, but they were like, commercials where it's at. I really want to get into the commercial side. what advice would you have for them?
Well, I guess it would go back to the same thing for any kind of photographer, is just shoot as many shots as you can get through that camera as you can. And it's so nice that, you know, of course we don't have film anymore for the most part. So you're able to really have, getting yourself a good camera, of course, is really important, but just shooting as much as you can and honing your craft.
Yeah. Just getting in there. Okay. So let's get into the Plotograph and what it is, first of all, what inspired it and what's your hope for it?
Okay. So my team and I have been animating images for quite a long time. And I saw this coming a long time ago. I did a TED Talks in 2013 on the future of photography. And my team and I have been working with photogrammetry, 3D, animating still images. And we saw that now that, you know, GIFs were coming up. It's just been only a couple of years actually that Facebook accepted GIFs, and now everything's moving to looping MP4s, which is fantastic. So we have this whole world of motion art that now the brands are noticing, influencers. It's kind of like, to me, I believe it's the next thing. And the base of motion art is photography. So it creates another realm for photographers to shoot for and compete in, to sell their images and to get clients who want this particular kind of motion art and looping content.
Okay, so give me a little bit more. If I am a photographer and the idea of motion is terrifying to me, tell me what it really is. I mean, like, how does it all work? Give me a little bit more in the details.
Okay, so I could see where it could be terrifying. So years ago, it used to take 4 to 5 different apps to get an export of an animated image. And they were very complex. So I had this idea. I'm like, gosh, if anybody ever invented a software or an app that could do this easily, this would revolutionize photography, and it would bring it to the next level, because now we can compete with those budgets where the brands and the agencies have that they're going with video. So this gives another tool for photographers. So we created the Plotograph app 2 years ago. We came out in beta, and it just blew up off the bat. Right out of the gate in beta. And then about a year ago, we released on iOS for the iPhone and iPad. And we went up to number one photo video in the App Store. And now we're one of Facebook's top 5 recommended apps for their advertising platform. Wow. So, because these guys know the data. They see what's happening. They see what's happening with the motion art, where you can take just one photograph and animate it. And now we have also with Plotiverse, which is the main app now that houses all of our different apps, including a morphing app too. It's just all motion art based.
What's the difference between what you're doing and what is it, a cinemagraph, where you take you actually are taking a video and then freezing part of it? Do you need video to make it work, or do you just need a photo?
Just a photo. And that's the whole idea. Is I was shooting cinemagraphs for years and years. I won awards for cinemagraphs, and I saw the popularity of them, and I saw what was happening to brands. And that's why I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a big deal. But once again, this cinemagraph is a tool for videographers. Once again, so there's another, the money just keeps going to the video guys. So I'm like, all right, so let's create this, you know, Plotograph. Initially we didn't know what the name was going to be. I had 100 different names. And of course my assistants at the end were like, let's just go with this Plotograph one. So I'm like, okay,
I know, I see it written out and I'm like, obviously that's the perfect name. It's, you have like the best
Plotograph, Plotograph. It kind of rhymes and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's my name. That's weird. We can't do that. They're like, yeah, no, it's cool. So we just went with it and it worked. So, but you know, we just created this algorithm that takes your image and loops it indefinitely. And so what it does is it catches people's eye, especially on, you know, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or any kind of digital display. The younger generations really are gravitating towards video or anything that's going to capture their eye, and they're loving motion art. And the stills, a lot of times, you know, just the stills don't get the attention that a video does, or even motion art. So if you're looking to up your game and up your engagement, this is a perfect way to kind of do that.
So who's using it professionally? Who's using it? I'm sure there are some who are just like, this is awesome, I'm just going to use it for fun. Who's using it to actually make money?
Oh gosh, a lot of photographers, a lot of photographers and agencies. We had one photographer about a year and a half ago when we first came out. photographer, I was like, come on, man, you have some images here that would really look cool animated. And I met with this guy who's really, really nice guy. And his first post that he did on Instagram, within 5 minutes, he booked a resort shoot in the Keys.
To do motion art.
Client called him within 5 minutes. He's like, hey, I just saw that image that you just posted on Instagram. How did you do that? And we have this shoot coming up down in the Keys. Can you do that for this resort shoot that we have? Absolutely.
Nice. So they can kind of be like, oh yeah, I've just got some special skills, magic sauce over here. Like, they don't have to necessarily let the client know how they did it, that it was easy.
Right. And that's our biggest problem as a company, because everybody wants to keep it a secret. It's not really so much of a secret anymore. Yeah. But at the beginning, it was like, we were working with influencers and we had a few ambassadors and, people going, oh my gosh, this is amazing. How'd you do it? And they're like, it's magic. And I'm like, no.
I can see how they would want to. Yeah, they're like, no, I'm going to charge a whole lot more because I've got this magic back here.
Totally. And there was another call from an agency, actually. They went to Hawaii to do a shoot, one of the resorts on Oahu, I guess, and they were supposed to get a video for the header of the website for the resort. And I don't know whether it was weather or they forgot or something like that. But they called me like, Troy, can you animate this image? We're supposed to deliver a video to the client. So long story short, they animated the image. The client never knew they didn't shoot video. And that's what they use for the front of their website for the resort.
And for listeners, I know this is an audio interview, so it's really hard to, it might be hard to understand without actually going and checking it out. So give them really quickly the website so they can go and actually see what this looks like. I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, well, the best bet would be, the fastest way is at Plotiverse, or the Plotiverse app on the App Store or the Play Store. And that's where we have a social platform, also actually sharing platform, where you just see, like, we have now, I think, 500,000 posts up now, from Plotographs to Cinemagraphs to Time Lapse to 3D, all kinds of different motion art. But that's a great place to start. And then PlotiverseApps.com. is where our pro version is, plotiverseapps.com. That's where you can see a lot of samples and stuff like that.
Okay. So if you're listening to this and you're like, how in the world do you make, because I think when I first read about it, I was like, does this like a cinemagraph? Like, no, I'm not doing video. I don't want to. I'm kind of resistant.
Right.
Even though
Oh my gosh, cinemagraphs are really hard.
Yeah. So it is completely different. All right. Who then do you think for those? Okay, here's my question. If someone is, let's say, like me, I'm primarily a wedding photographer. Do you think that there's a use for something like this as a consumer-based photographer? Or do you think it's more for if somebody's like, maybe it would be cool to get into more commercial work and have a little bit of a different approach to commercial work and really be able to stand out that way?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of wedding photographers who use it, where it's like you can animate the dress, or if, say, you have a couple on the beach or outside and you have clouds in the background, and you can animate the clouds or fountains. There's so many different things that you can do with it, with portraits and with weddings specifically. There's a lot of people who animate the dresses, which is pretty cool. And once again, so if the bride and groom are going to post their images on Facebook or Instagram or have these, really cool images, it just stands out. Once again, it's like that next little extra thing. And when a bride's going to interview a photographer and they're looking at, like, probably really, 10 different photographers, really good books, really good websites, how are you going to stand out? And if you can include, let's say you say, hey, I'll animate one of your images, I'll give you a Plotograph at the end, this little special thing that I do, it would take you 5 minutes to animate the image first off, and it really would help you stand out and possibly land a job. That's my hope. That's what we created it for, actually, is to help photographers monetize their business.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And actually, on this podcast, we've been talking a lot about building value and the different ways that we build value and differentiate ourselves from one photographer to the other, so that we're not all just like, I'm genuine, I'm authentic, because everyone's going the same route, the same words. It can be a lot of the sameness. And then if you're scrolling through Facebook and someone has posted an image of themselves on their wedding day, and you're like, wait, what did I just see? That is crazy.
Right.
And even though it is, because at first I kind of came at it like, okay, from that perspective, maybe it felt, and like, pardon me for saying this, this is my initial thought, like, is that gimmicky? Because ultimately, let's say we want to sell these long-term printed products and we want to have albums in their hands, which is great. But then I thought, you know what, from a marketing perspective, if you are giving that to them, and that's, of course, the one that they're going to share and put, you know, like, put up for everybody to see, then if I'm looking at a friend's photo and I see something like that versus just like everyday photo, absolutely, you know, I'm going to stop and be like, how did you do that? And they're going to be like, yeah, my photographer did this. This is cool. Because I felt the same way about cinemagraphs when I was like, dang, I need to start doing this. I want to incorporate cinemagraphs into every wedding. And then I was like, except I don't.
Oh my gosh. That's almost a physical impossibility. I mean, you really have to take some time out and be like, okay, and then cut your fingers crossed, right? Get a fan or have some kind of motion or whatever you might do. No, this is way easier. Wait, and the thing is, we, you know, like I said, we started off doing cinemagraphs back in the day, and we're like, oh my gosh, how can we create a tool for photographers? And that's what we did. And gimmicky, we've heard that before. Like, definitely, like, oh, this is gonna be a fad, or it's gonna be gimmicky. And I'm just like, no, we're four. So I've got over 4 million people. Actually, we hit 5 million.
Wow.
On all of our platforms. So we're just growing fast. A lot of the bigger corporations, I've heard that, like, from behind the scenes, like Adobe and a few other companies, you know, kind of keeping their eye on us. And one of the creators of Photoshop actually is one of our biggest fans. He loves it. He got it right off the bat. And once again, we're growing by leaps and bounds. And now we're in the top 5 apps recommended by Facebook.
Yeah, that's a total honor to have the Photoshop person be your fan. That's a huge honor. And that's awesome.
I know. I heard that. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
That makes my life. That's awesome. Well, what do you think then? And kind of in closing, if you have a message to photographers who are just feeling a little bit run down, or they're feeling like, oh my gosh, this market, what's going to become of like so many photographers, it feels like the entry, it's a lower barrier to entry. They're feeling like, how do I stand out? Besides, obviously, you know, check this out. This is a way to stand out. But do you have a message, just, you know, a word of encouragement or advice for them? Because you've done such a phenomenal job of adapting to the market changes over time. So what's your just kind of closing thought on that you can leave with photographers who might be feeling a little bit like, am I going to be able to keep doing this?
Yeah, just keep going. There's been many times in my career, same thing. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's not easy. And how are you going to stand out? And honestly, motion art is a really great way to stand out. People love it. The brands love it. Influencers love it. It's the next big thing, honestly.
Okay. And one more question kind of along those lines. And I know I said that was going to be my last question, but I lied. So how are you when you're keeping this, I swear, when you're keeping up with those changes and you're always looking one step ahead, are you doing it? It sounds like it's pretty intentional, but are you like literally setting aside a day a month to be like, how can I be forward thinking? Are you making space for that? Or are you just, how are you mentally allowing yourself to not get caught up in the day to day, because you're running this business, you're doing a ton of things, but over the years, how do you get yourself in the space where you're always looking forward?
Every day. It's not even one day. It's every single day. That's what I've always been known for, is combining photography and technology and what's next. The you know, I did a TED Talks called The Future of Photography. So it's like, it's my job to think about like what's next, and everything points to motion art. Whether you're doing it yourself, or just we're providing content now for clients who want to do it themselves also. So it's just another way of selling photography, and just keep kicking butt and doing your passion. It is tough. There is a lot of competition out there. Things have changed quite a bit. And if you just go by the numbers, so much has moved to video. So how can you, without putting a video camera in your hand, compete in that realm? And motion art's the answer.
Yeah. Well, it's very encouraging for people like me, because like I said, I was like, oh, cinemagraph, I should do that. Should being the word, and then the rest being like, but I'm not going to. So something like this is a really fun way that we can dive in and start to add that motion, start to differentiate ourselves without having to have the gear and the time and the skills. And that's not to say that we shouldn't learn it, because I do know I'm starting to dip my toe into it. I'm starting to do it. I think that it's important that we take the time to look around us, look at the market, look at what's coming, and don't let anything surprise you. Don't let any, you know, rug get pulled out from under you. Don't let the surprises come. Be ready for them. Be aware of what's happening. So, Troy, absolutely. Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing this. I will put all of those links in the show notes over at photofieldnotes.com so you can go check those out. I'll also put your TED Talk so everybody can go and give that a listen. And yeah, I'm going to be checking out all of your stuff and diving in, and everybody definitely go over and check out Troy's Plotograph and Plotiverse, right?
Plotiverse, yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Allie. I really appreciate it. It was fun.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.